This is the 1 Million Lives Podcast by Laramie. Listen to healthcare professionals, healthcare educators, and survivors share their best practices and what they've learned from these experiences. At Laerdal, it's our goal to help save 1 million more lives every year by 2030. One life at a time.
Welcome to another episode of the 1 Million Lives podcast. Today's episode will be all about the tiniest among us, the newborn babies, and of course also their mothers and families. What sparked my interest at this point in time was an article I stumbled upon talking about a research project on what is called immediate kangaroo mother care. What was very special about the research project was that it had to be stopped on ethical reasons. Simply put, the intervention group that received kangaroo mother care had so much better outcomes that it was not really ethically justifiable to continue giving the traditional incubator treatment to the other group. In a study conducted in India on kangaroo mother care, survival of newborns increased with as much as 30% the first month of life and 25% for the remainder of their life. This study was published in The Lancet. Very few interventions, I believe, can demonstrate such improvement numbers, perhaps with the exception of vaccination programs. Today's guest in our podcast is a medical doctor at the University Hospital of Stavanger. She is a consultant and a professor of neonatology. For those who are not familiar with this term, it is basically a subspecialty of pediatrics, which focuses specifically on medical care of newborn infants, especially the ill or premature newborns. She did her PhD back in 2016 and is now a principal investigator of the large international research project called Safer Births. You can read more about this project at www.saferbirths.com. Welcome to our podcast, Siren Rattedal.
Thank you very much, Michael.
So I'd really like us to start talking about that wondrous moment when a newborn enters into this world. It seems to me that it's both a fragile moment, but also a process that the female body has been designed for. And yet, sometimes, among all those uncomplicated births where the first cry mixes with tears and happy emotions, some newborns may need a bit of extra help. Could you speak a little bit about what you may face when you are called to a birthing room where a baby may need a little bit extra help?
Yes, so the first month of life is the most vulnerable in a child's life when it comes to survival. The main reason why newborns die are premature birth complications and that they have birth asphyxia, that they need resuscitation at birth.
What is asphyxia, for those who are not sort of familiar?
So birth asphyxia is when the baby has too little oxygen during the delivery and is born not breathing, and it needs help to start breathing after birth.
So when you come to this room, what do you face?
So when it comes to premature births, they are often have immature lungs, so they need help to start breathing after birth. So they need ventilation support. Today, most newborns are separated from their mothers when they're resuscitated or born very preterm. So they're brought to a resuscitation or a stabilization table where they're giving the treatment they need. And then they're often transferred to the neonatal intensive care unit in an incubator for further treatment.
So what I'm hearing you saying, Sian, is that the current practice up until fairly recently is actually the separation of mother and baby. Is that correct?
That is correct. For the last 100 years or so, mothers and babies have often been separated after birth when the baby has been in need of medical treatment. However, with the new results from the study published in New England Journal of Medicine, this may change. The WHO has now published new guidelines and recommendations that mothers and babies should not be separated after birth, but be treated together.
It sounds so natural that skin-to-skin should be the preferred method, but I can see during a resuscitation event that may not be the case. But say more about the current practices. Why have we landed on separation and incubator use?
Yes. So babies born premature, they often need extra warmth and they need treatment with nutrition, and they need breathing help. So they're often brought to the neonatal intensive care unit, and they're often put in incubators. However, in the late 1970s, two doctors in Bogota in Colombia, they discovered that if they put the body skin to skin on the chest of the mother and then discharge the baby home with information that the baby should have frequent breastfeeding and then follow up in the clinic after, that more babies survived that were discharged from the hospital than those that remained in the neonatal intensive care unit. And this was done in response to very high overfilled neonatal intensive care units and very high mortality rates from hospital-acquired infections. So we've now known for 50 years that it's effective to put babies in KMC position with the mothers. However, the uptake has been very low. Also, it's been a problem that the recommendations were for stable premature babies, and it takes many days for premature babies to stabilize. And we know that most babies, they die within the first 24 hours of life, or at least the first week. So that means that most babies would not be in a position where they were offered KMC. So in this new study that was coordinated by the WHO, we put babies between 1 and 1.8 kilos immediately after birth in skin-to-skin position with the mother, and they were kept there continuously 17 hours a day until they were ready to be discharged.
And what happens then on discharge? Do they continue the kangaroo mother care?
So they should continue the kangaroo mother care until the baby has grown big enough not to need this support anymore. So what we found in the WHO study was a 25% reduced risk of dying for the babies that were put in the KMC position. And this meant that the study was stopped, and WHO just recently, 15th of November this year, published recommendations that all babies that are either born premature, that is before week 37 in pregnancy, or with a birth weight under 2.5 kilos, they should be offered immediate KMC.
What is the biggest threat to newborns and even prematures?
The first month of life is the neonatal period, and that's the most vulnerable when it comes to child survival. And the main reason why newborns die is complications, because they're born too early, premature birth, before week 37 in pregnancy, or because of birth asphyxia. And the sad thing is that 3/4 of these lives could probably be saved by good quality medical treatment.
3/4 could be saved.
And one of the interventions that we know can save a lot of lives is what we call KMC, kangaroo mother care, for preterm babies.
So, Sharon, I was wondering about, you mentioned a couple of times the immediate kangaroo mother care. It's sort of a slightly strange term, kangaroos for humans. Could you explain exactly what it means? What is it?
Yeah, so kangaroo mother care is defined by the WHO as continuous skin-to-skin contact between the newborn and the chest of the mother. And it should be fed exclusively with breast milk, and then it should be discharged early from hospital. And this concept was first discovered in Bogota in Colombia by two doctors, and in response to overfilled neonatal intensive care units and high mortality rates due to hospital-acquired infection, they started putting the children on the chest of the mother in skin-to-skin position and then discharging them home. And to their surprise, they found that more babies survived that were sent out of hospital than those that were left in the incubators in the hospital. So this started this movement, the kangaroo mother care movement.
It's a nice metaphor. Having the baby next to you, sort of in this pouch, because that's, I mean, practically speaking, that's what you do. You wrap a cloth or something around the baby to be able to keep him or her close to you, right?
That's correct. And it keeps them warm, but it also protects against infections. And it makes it easier with frequent and full breastfeeding. And these are three important factors for preterms. And it also promotes bonding and safety when the baby is close to the mother.
You're listening to 1 Million Lives, a Laerdal podcast.
And what is astonishing about this, Sian, is that this is a, as I hear it, it's a treatment that can be offered everywhere, even in low resource setting, high resource settings. It doesn't really matter. Is that correct?
That is correct. And WHO, they are very specific that this should be done in all settings, not only low resource settings, but also in high resource setting. We think this is the best treatment for all babies. And it's not a poor man's solution. It's what we think is best for all babies. Hmm.
So what happens now? I mean, so you mentioned the WHO has put out new guidelines. Sorry. And what you're saying is that this should now spread to all over the world. What initiatives are in place to make that happen?
So we have to rethink how neonatal intensive care is provided. We know how the guidelines and the recommendations from the World Health Organization, and now we have to start changing our way of working. And this is going to take a lot of work, and we need mandate from the different governments in the different countries. We need uptake among healthcare providers, and we need to get the information out to the parents that this is the way we think it's best to treat babies.
But it strikes me as a very special paradigm shift where we go from what seems to be a rather high-tech environment into what is almost like extreme low-tech. Do you foresee any sort of a pushback from the community, the healthcare community, on this?
It is a paradigm shift. It's a completely new way of working for us. Mm. However, the medical treatment will be the same. So a baby that needs a CPAP will still get CPAP for breathing support. If they need an intravenous drip, they will still get intravenous drip. But the place they're cared for will be different. It will be on the chest of the mother, is in skin-to-skin position, and not in an incubator. It's always difficult when we change ways of working. So it will take some getting used to from healthcare providers. And it'll take simulation training and practice to master this new way of working.
Can you say something more about that? I mean, I know you have been an advocate for using simulation training to implement new procedures and protocols. What does that look like?
So when we did the immediate KMC study in Norway and Sweden, in parallel with the WHO coordinated study, we had a lot of simulation training before we implemented immediate KMC. We practiced with live mothers and mannequins in the delivery room, and how to do all the procedures with stabilization, breathing support, even though the baby was on the chest of the mother. And also the transfer from the delivery rooms to the neonatal intensive care units, either in skin-to-skin position with the mothers or fathers. So I think this is necessary for healthcare providers to feel safe to do simulation training. And maybe when we implement it, we should start with the bigger premature babies and then go down in gestational age.
Makes sense. I was thinking, so let's say we succeed in implementing this on a global scale. What could the potential outcome be? I mean, in numbers, what are we talking about?
So the WHO has calculated that doing immediate KMC can save 150,000 more premature lives every year. Wow. And this is in addition to the 250,000 lives that can be saved when implementing KMC when the babies are stable.
Well, it strikes a particular nerve with me because despite my gray hair and beard, I actually became a father last year. And I was thinking about that moment. And they actually did what you said. I mean, he immediately went to his mother's chest and he was left there. The whole room was dimmed down. Everything was quiet and he was simply left there. And clearly, it seemed like a natural thing to do, but also... there was a little bit of a hiccup right when he sort of at the moment of birth, so they had to stimulate him a bit, but it was a wondrous moment, and I can see it actually feeds the good side of the moment rather than separation. So, to round this off, could you share an experience from your own practice where immediate kangaroo mother care actually made a difference?
So while we were participating in the WHO study on immediate KMC, we had this, we were going to introduce it for healthcare providers for the first time in the India study site. And we had this small premature baby that was in an incubator and it was more than a week and had never been with the mother. So we asked the mother, is it okay that we demonstrate how we can put the preterm baby in skin to skin position. And she agreed to this. And the moment when she got the baby on her chest, she was sitting in a chair. We placed the baby on her chest and she started crying. And we got a bit upset because we didn't understand why she was crying, you know, and some of the healthcare providers in India, they asked, you know, is something wrong? And she said, no, but this is the first time I felt like a mother. No one said I could touch my baby before. So it was a great moment for us. It sort of turned this around and we then thought this study is possible to do and it should be done.
Goosebumps. Yeah. Totally goosebumps. So your work now, Sian, to round it off, your work forward now, what would that entail? How do you see yourself as sort of an operator or a supporter of what needs to happen next?
So I'm fortunate enough to be a part of a big project in Ethiopia called Saving Little Lives. And this is targeted towards all sick and preterm newborns in a huge amount of Ethiopian neonatal care units. And they're going to implement a higher standard of care. And this includes implementing immediate KMC for all preterm babies.
And here at home in the cold southwestern Norway?
Yes, so we are wanting to change the practice in Norway as well. Mm. And we're working with looking at how this should be done at home.
Wonderful. This was such a nice talk, Sian. Thank you so much for taking time. Not only is it busy at work, but we actually recording this just prior to Christmas. And we're all a bit stressed by that. But thank you so much again for this inspiring talk. And good luck with your great work.
Thank you. Same.
You have been listening to a 1 Million Lives podcast by Laerdal. You can find all our podcasts and access any bonus material on laerdal.com/podcast. The views, information, or opinions expressed are those of the guests and do not necessarily represent those of the institution they are affiliated with or of Laerdal Medical. If you have any suggestions for guests or topics we should cover, please send us a message on laerdal.com/podcast. We look forward to hearing from you.
Until the next time. Goodbye from the Laerdal podcast team.